Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dakay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday, March 14, 2021. We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support. And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Good morning to all of you, wherever you may be, at home or at work. For me, and I hope also for you, every 10 o'clock in the morning of Friday is always good. In fact, like Simon Peter on Mount Tabor during the Transfiguration, I dare say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And so, welcome once more to our Bible study online. Thanks again to your interest and your initiative to put technology at the service of our Bible apostolate for all its worth. We are here. You are seated there. I am seated here. Not just to look at each other, but to look together in the same direction, as we have always been saying. And our direction is Sunday Mass, the gospel chosen for the day. It's the fourth Sunday of Lent, by the way, March 14, cycle B. So before anything else, let us pray. God our Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love, following your Son Jesus Christ, through whom we find freedom, fulfillment, and forever, the future forever with you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. So now we ask little Janice Vistil to read for us. You open now your Bibles to chapter 3 of John, verses 14 to 21. I repeat, John 3, 11 to 21. Take it away, Janice.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict: that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God.
Thank you very much, Janice. We're still. This fourth Sunday of Lent, cycle B, this year, 2021, is called Laetare Sunday, just like that third Sunday of Advent, December 13, 2020, was called Gaudete Sunday. I presume you already know that the Latin words Gaudete and Laetare mean the same thing in English, rejoice. Rejoice. Now this is strange, because on the one hand, we are right in the middle of Lent, the season of Lent, during which we are challenged to pray, to do penance, and to alleviate poverty while we meditate on the sorrowful mysteries. On the other hand, for almost a year now, we have been badly and sadly afflicted by coronavirus with its mutations and variants. So the question is, when and where and how can we rejoice during these days? The answer is right in the Gospel for this year, cycle B, according to John chapter 3. But as you might have already noticed, I am not satisfied with just reading and reflecting and realizing the Gospel for this cycle B. I always find it more wholesome in order to have a holistic picture of the message that we also read again the Gospel of last year's cycle A, according the same thing to John, as well as we look forward to the Gospel for this Sunday next year, cycle C. You might say, why talk about the past? Because the message of cycle A tied up with the message of cycle B and cycle C is enough for us to really understand how we can rejoice in spite of the fact that we are in a very, very sad and bad situation. You might say, why don't you leave cycle C next year? And we say, God willing. And we say in Cebuano, paaboton pa. Ang question go, di niya takaabot. Muna, now, I try, and this is how I sound different, because usually the traditional reflection on the Gospel is with reference to the Old Testament or to the letters of St. Paul. But for me, it's better that we lump up together, we tie up the Gospel for A, cycle B, and cycle C, so that we have, I repeat, a holistic picture of what Jesus wanted to mean. So in answer to the question, how can we rejoice? The answer is right in the three Gospels at the end of it, because every Gospel, A, B, or C, ends happily with a very high note of joy. Remember, huh? Every gospel is like a diamond. When you want to buy a diamond, you have to be concerned with at least 5 C's. You look at it and find first clarity, next carats, next colors, next cut and cost. That's how you can view a gospel from different angles. That's how you can review a gospel under different aspects. And so you are, of course, free to view and review the gospel under different aspects. But for me, to read and reflect on the gospels for A, B, and C, you find an answer to the question, how can we rejoice these days? Let's go to the first reading according to Janice for cycle B this year. The gospel actually is taken from chapter 3 of John. It has 21 verses. We are now made to read the last 8 verses from 14 to 21. It's all about the one-on-one encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, a Jew, a Pharisee, who wanted to see Jesus at night. Not because he was afraid to be seen, no. He wanted to see Jesus. Remember, the word to see is not just to look at. To see is to know more and more. He wanted more office hours, as it were, so that he could know Jesus better. And indeed, the first 13 verses of this chapter 3, as recorded by John, there is a question and answer between Jesus and Nicodemus. Anyone who wants to enter the kingdom must be born again, or born from above, must be born with water and the Spirit, etc., etc. And from 14 to 21, it is Jesus speaking, telling Nicodemus the truth. I am telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. 3 times he did that. And now we have this truth, that just as Moses lifted up a serpent made of bronze, the Son of Man will also be lifted on the cross. One truth. Another truth is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, etc., etc. But what I am after is the ending of this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus in this gospel. It ended with, whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Wow! What joy Nicodemus must have felt when he was taught all the truths and have learned so far. Remember, this Nicodemus would be the same guy who on Good Friday, together with Joseph of Arimathea, dared to ask Pilate that they be given the permission to take down the dead body of Jesus from the cross. Nicodemus could not be mistakenly identified as a coward because he wanted to see Jesus at night. No, he was just wanted, he just was eager to see Jesus. And for all we know, that whole night they were talking to each other until daylight. The whole night was a perfect act of Jesus to teach and Nicodemus for all the truths that he wanted him to learn. If we go to the Cycle A Gospel, still according to John, but this time, chapter 9. It's about a man born blind. He didn't ask for anything. It was the disciples who introduced Jesus to him. Jesus immediately said that this case of a blind man born blind is now the occasion for God the Father to be made visible in his work of curing and caring for a blind man. So what he did, without being asked, on his own initiative, motu proprio as it were, of his own free will, he spat on the ground, he made clay with his saliva and smeared the eyes of the blind man. The blind man did not see Jesus, but then he was told, go to the pool of Siloam and wash your face. So he went. He must have been brought by people there because he was blind. And then he washed and that was made clean. That's a miracle. In the meantime, there is a question and answer in between. They asked him questions and he answered very well. I am he, he is a prophet, etc., etc., etc. Until finally, the Pharisees could not take him anymore because he was preaching about Jesus Christ, whom he had not seen yet. They threw him out of the synagogue. But lo and behold, Jesus pala was monitoring his steps. Jesus pala was inspiring this guy, even if not seen by him, to answer well all the questions. So that when he was thrown out, Jesus was there. He found him as if Jesus had a video camera and followed him throughout. Once thrown out, he welcomed him. And then this is the nice thing, the last verse of the gospel, when Jesus said to him, not yet recognized by the guy, do you believe in the Son of Man? He said, sir, who is he that I might believe in him? And Jesus very calmly said, you have seen him. Right now, the one talking to you is he. Wow, what a joy. The blind man said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. That's rejoicing, not only because Jesus cured him, but also because he cared for him and carried him. Let's go to the third gospel, Cycle C Gospel, according to St. Luke, chapter 15. This is a very familiar gospel about one good father who had two sons. He was good to both of them, the younger son and the elder son. You know the story. The younger son asked for his inheritance, and the good father divided his inheritance 2/3 to the elder, 1/3 to the younger. Nothing left for the father. That's how good he was. So the younger one went away, separated from the father, and in that foreign land, he wasted everything. But then, when he had nothing else to do, he took his wallet, no money in it, just an old, old photo of his father. And he came back to his senses and said, "Wow, how good my father is. We have servants at home, and yet he feeds all of them. And here I am, his son, hungry. I'll go back to him." So he went back to him. The good father was looking out of the window. Not once, but he had been looking out of the window, hoping the prodigal son would come home. And there he was coming home. To shorten the distance between the father and the son, the father ran to the son. Once in front of the son, to shorten the distance, he embraced the son. Still to shorten the distance, he not only embraced him, he kissed him. They say that a kiss is the shortest line between two points. And not only that, he brought him in and said, "Let us celebrate." And there was a fattened calf, said, "Kill it, let's have a feast." Good father. But then the elder brother was not pleased with it. He did not want to come inside the house. He asked a servant, "What are you doing there?" Then the servant said, "Your brother has come home and your father has killed you, the calf, to have a feast." Since he would not enter his own house, the father left the party, the dancing, the music, out to meet the guy. And the guy, without respect, said, "Look here." Imagine that. He did not call father, no. He said, "Look here. I have been here with you. I was a slave to you. I obeyed your commandments, but you'd never give me even a kid goat to kill and eat with my friends." But the good father said, "My child, you have always been with me, and all that I have is now yours. But now we have to celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found." Wow, what a joy the father had, and what a joy the younger son experienced. We do not know what happened to the elder because this is a parable. But that is it. If you ask me now, how do we rejoice during these days? We have three ways. If we follow the gospel where Nicodemus was so joyful to be taught and to have learned the truths, is that not one way of rejoicing when we are taught and hear Jesus? According to the gospel for cycle A, the blind man now could see Jesus for the first time. There have been, I'm sure, times when we could not understand Jesus, especially now we ask, where is Jesus when it hurts? Where is Jesus when we are in trouble, when we are afflicted by this coronavirus? But we have to see him with the eyes of faith and rejoice because he is there. Then lastly, like the father of the prodigal son and of the elder brother, we should rejoice at every find of what was lost, of every life of a dead brought back to life. These are three reasons why we should rejoice. Jesus had told several other parables. Still, the main point of every parable would be joy. Remember the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. When the good shepherd found the lost sheep, he was so joyful, he brought him on his shoulders and went back home and invited neighbors to rejoice. The same with the woman who had lost one silver coin. Once he had swept the floor and lighted a lamp, once he found back the coin, she called her neighbors and said, let us rejoice. Finding. Remember too, the parable of the hidden treasure, when that farmer, without intending to find anything, was doing his hard work of digging. He dug deep and deep and found a hidden treasure. He was so happy. She was full of joy that she hid the same treasure, went back home and gave up everything else, sold everything he had to buy not just the treasure but the whole field. That's joy. The same with that merchant who was looking for a precious pearl. Once he found that pearl, he sold everything she had. This could be only a woman looking for a pearl. She sold everything to buy that field. So there you are. We have several reasons to rejoice from the Gospels themselves. So we can view, I repeat, these Gospels from different angles. We can review them under different aspects, and we can even preview them for whatever applications we may make. So this is it. Next Sunday is fourth Sunday of Lent, but it is Rejoice Sunday. We may be sad for this and for that reason, but we should be overwhelmed. We should be shouting for joy, jumping for joy, because we know Jesus, we see him with the eyes of faith. We have learned his ways. We have not just followed his way, we have learned the truth. We are living his life. This is it. That's why I said, it is good that we lump up, we tied up the three Gospels, although this is not the traditional way. But why should I do the way others are doing it? If they are doing it already, why should I be doing it again? I should make a difference. I should look at it from a different angle or under a different aspect so that we add something else to what has already been done. I repeat, if I preach the very same way as the others did, why should I be preaching? I might as well endorse their preaching. But if there is some angle, some aspect that I can look it from or under, I will do it. And that's what I have been trying to do. Every Sunday, I look at, I read and reflect and realize the three Gospels chosen by our Commission on Liturgy to be read on the same Sunday, but different years, A, B, and C. And then we have, I repeat, a holistic picture of what Jesus is trying to teach us. So here I pose for your reflections and questions. I'm sure you have many of them. After a few minutes of silence.
Hi, Mons. It was very enlightening to compare the three Gospels of each cycle. I find that comparing these three Gospels leads me to have a deeper reflection for what God is trying to say. Thank you, Mons, for this new perspective.
Thank you, too, for your interest to know more. And this is what I have tried to do. If you have already been taught and have learned that way through the years, good for you. But now, after 60 years of priesthood, I intend to look at it, to view it from a different angle and a different aspect. Thank you. These three Gospels, by the way, should be read not only on Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, but all throughout the fifth week of Lent, from Monday to Saturday before Palm Sunday. In other words, let the three Sunday Gospels, A, B, C, let them govern you, guard you and guide you as you work at home or at work, as you live and make a living. Because this is the nice thing about the Bible. It really is the bread of life. Not only that, the word that can set us free, the truth. Read again and again at home, at your convenience, the long gospel for cycle A about that blind man, blind from birth, how he suffered the rejection of people because he was becoming a disciple of Jesus. But Jesus pala did not leave him alone. He was inspiring him to answer the questions until he was ejected and he was there to welcome him.
Good morning, Mons. Asa man ta maka-access sa gospel reading for three cycles so that we can read them for reflection on a daily basis. Thank you.
Well, if you have had the Ambahan in Cebuano of last year, so you will have it. And if you have the year before, cycle C, then you have the gospel, the parable of the prodigal son. But I have told you, you can find the three of them this way. Cycle A, John 9, 1 to 41. Cycle B, John 3, 14, 21. And cycle C, St. Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32. No, chapter 15, 11 to 22. Then you can have in your Bible. So don't let us be content and be satisfied with just one gospel. After all, it has been wisely chosen by the Commission on Worship that the three, one after another, A, B, C, should be read. But I would rather, if I have the time and the space, to read all of them during the week and be guided, guarded, and governed by its message.
Monsignor, thank you for your time in attending Bible study. The Bible says, the gospel today says that whoever believes in Christ will not be condemned, and those who do not believe in him will be condemned. What about those people who don't know him at all, who were born as Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists? They don't know Christ, but it's not their fault. How does God judge them? Thank you.
As I have already told you, I have written a reflection on this same Gospel ABC. You can ask for a copy of it and have it texted to you.
Mons, how does God judge the Hindus, Buddhists, and other religions since they do not know Jesus?
Well, as you know, God is very bright. He has nature. The material nature, the creation. And if we look at creation, its beauty, its honesty, its unity, its movement, etc. St. Thomas Aquinas says you can prove God's existence by arguing from nature. How did the three kings come to know where Jesus would be born? First of all, they were guided by a natural phenomenon, a star. But that was not enough. There was a scripture from Micah that finally led them to Bethlehem. So from nature to grace, from natural to the supernatural. That's how we come to know God. If you look at the beauty of nature, you can always say, wow, if nature can be this beautiful, there must be a being beautiful as beautiful. And that's God, etc. Remember, the best proof of God's existence is atheism. Why should people deny someone if he does not exist? The fact that he exists, that's why there are people who affirm and there are people who deny him. That's why I repeat the professor, the philosopher Nietzsche warned us, warned them against us. If you want to destroy the Catholic Church, abolish Sunday Mass, because that's where the Catholics get energized with what they hear at the Gospel and what they receive at Holy Communion.
Another question. Would our own perspective not lead us to our own interpretation, which may not be aligned to Catholic teaching and interpretation?
As long as I'm not teaching anything heretical, I'll go on doing this. After all, this is just another way, another angle, another aspect of reflecting on the same gospel. But I'm sure there will be some who may not like the way we sound because it's strange. It sounds strange to them, unusual. But nothing wrong with it. In fact, the fact that for 9 months, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, for 9 months, this Bible study online has lasted that long, there must be some good out of it, or else it would not have died out the first or 2 months.
Thank you for a very enlightening direction on how to fully understand the message of Jesus. Your holistic viewpoint makes us realize the importance of looking back of the many parables and truth as told to us by Jesus, also for the future as cycle C. Hence our understanding is better and complete. Thank you.
Yeah. I repeat, I know that cycle C next year is still next. As we say in Cebuano pa, buton pa. A question lagi di niya ta kaabot. So now that we have the time, we might as well make good use of it. We are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the birth of Christianity in the Philippines. We Cebu people, we are the cradle of Christianity. Let us hope that after 500 years, our Christianity has already gone out of the cradle because we are already able, mature people. Let us keep on singing what we have been singing through the years since 1937, that Eucharistic Congress in Manila. Let us go on singing La Fe de Filipinas es como el sol ardiente, warm and welcoming. Como la roca firme, strong and constant, inmensa como el mar, wide open, expansive, all embracing. Can we say that now? We hope we can. La fe de Filipinas es como el sol ardiente, como la roca firme, inmensa, como el mar. We should be legitimately proud to have been privileged, to have been gifted with the Catholic faith. It is now our responsibility to give faith to others who may have lost it or who lack it.
I'm sorry that I tuned in quite late. I did not hear gospel. Are you discussing the gospel for this coming Sunday or the last Sunday?
This coming Sunday.
Well, it's not, is it the curing of the blind man?
No, it's the one of John chapter 3, verse 14 to 21, the one where he's talking with Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Address my question on that gospel.
Yes, it would be greatly encouraged to have questions related to the gospel.
Thank you. I forget what Nicodemus was asking.
You may a copy of the gospel in the invite group chat.
Okay.
Our goal to be energized at least every Sunday is meet with your holistic direction. We continue to listen to you, Monsignor. We will try to bring in more members. Congratulations, and our prayers are with you for your good health.
Thank you, Kyle. So we end this session with a blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ciao, goodbye, hasta la vista. See you again.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your host, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.